Now, as we get ready to move forward, I'd like to at least make some comments about this major agenda item, which is going forward to the board as a whole, and that's the strategic framework. I know over the last year, many people are being involved. I know you're going to talk a little bit about that in this strategic framework development. In my private sector role, I've spent a lot of time in developing strategic direction. Number one, my compliments to the number of people who were involved in the initial input. Number two, to stay the point of as it was being developed along the way, it was provided back to individuals for further input, further clarification, some cases additions to the strategic framework, and even to the point for all of us as trustees that we've had the chance to participate in that process directly, as well as providing input through the process. A really impressive, in-depth, and broad approach to where this university is going from here. The thing I would say, and I know you'll comment on it further, the strategic framework allows us to have an overarching plan for where we go. What we put into that from that point forward is what is really actionable. I used to spend a lot of time with a company called Ralston Purina in St. Louis many years, and the founder of that company, William H. Danforth, one of the things that he challenged his team with was the term, what next? And he said, it's great to where we are today, but where do we go from here? And you know, I think that's what we get today is the framework for going, and then you and your team at the university and the campus levels can then put the detail into what next. So without any further preparation, President Killeen, welcome.
Thank you for those kind comments. I'm going to, with your indulgence, take the podium a little bit and make some opening comments, which are a little bit of a reflection before going into the strategic plan. Today, as some of you know, marks the beginning of my second year as president. And I have to tell you that I'm even more proud than I was today, last year. I'm more proud today to be part of this magnificent university system. It's undoubtedly been a year of challenges that none of us could have fully predicted, notably, of course, with the ongoing budget impasse that has shut off state funding, that did shut off state funding for nearly 10 months, starting to flow now. We're very grateful for that. Albert Einstein had a theory. It's not the one you're thinking of, but it was a simple one. Life is like riding a bicycle, he said. To keep your balance, you've got to keep moving. I think that's what the university is doing, and it's on an upward trajectory. The U of I has tackled every challenge head on with purpose and integrity, guided by a bedrock commitment to students and the public good. And along the way, we've done more than just weather the challenges. We've also built on the excellence that is synonymous with the University of Illinois, thanks to the commitment and vision of the board, our faculty and staff, our students, and our alumni and friends. Just consider for a second how we've grown over the last year. Enrollment topped a record 80,000 plus students across our three great campuses last fall, including the largest freshman class ever and significant increases in African American and Latino students. Next fall could bring new records. System-wide, we received more than 58,000 applications from prospective first-time freshmen, record interest that was up more than 13% from the year before. Almost 12,000 to date have accepted our offer of admission, nearly matching last year's totals. And among African American and Latino students, acceptances are up 9%. It speaks to the quality of a U of I education and a commitment to access and affordability that we will hold tuition rates flat for the second straight year. Thanks you, board, for the board for that guidance and approval, despite all the financial challenges we face. And through ramped up advocacy efforts that the chair has already alluded to, we are working to restore adequate and reliable state funding, making our case on the value of the University of Illinois and its importance as an economic engine for the state. And that included another great day in the Capitol yesterday, when more than 150 alumni joined trustees and top administrators to share their stories about the difference that the U of I has made in their lives and the key role it has in moving Illinois forward. I think the advocacy is working, and we're thankful to Governor Rauner and the leaders for the stopgap measure that provided about a quarter of our fiscal 16 appropriation. And I remain hopeful that a full budget for both 16 and 17 will follow that holds reductions below earlier forecasts. Each of our campuses is also adding to its legacy of service to students and society, and momentum continues to build under the great leadership of our three wonderful chancellors. Through creative private funding approaches, and as has been introduced, Barb, Michael, and Susan are our team, our leadership team. And for example, at Urbana, along with a new engineering-based College of Medicine, we're going to be opening a new leading-edge center that will increase students' role in innovation and enhance their educational experience, the Design Center. Very exciting development. This is set to open by December 2018. It'll be a 60,000 square foot facility where students from different disciplines will come together to bring pioneering ideas to life. At UIC, we are building on a healthcare enterprise that is home to the nation's largest medical school and a legacy of research discovery that includes a drug to reduce the spread of HIV and imaging techniques to detect aggressive cancers. A new Vice Chancellor for Health Affairs, Bob Barish, is now on board to oversee a realignment that will integrate our health science colleges with our hospital and clinics. It's a very important move that promises advances in medical education, breakthrough research, and in service to the underserved communities around Chicago. And here in Springfield, we did break ground this month on the campus's first ever student union, which is going to provide a critical new hub for student life on this growing 5,400 student campus. And I want to congratulate personally Chancellor Cook for her drive, vision, passion, and stick-to-itness, if that's a word, that made that happen. These achievements, despite the odds, have been a team effort rooted in passion, creativity, and dedication of our many stakeholders, trustees, our leadership team, our faculty and staff, our students and alumni. And they're the foundation for our standing as one of the world's premier university systems, and why I'm so optimistic that the future is even brighter, no matter what new challenges come our way. We will chart our course with the help of this new strategic framework, and I'll talk about it just shortly. The framework will set high aspirations for the future. Some maybe feel too high, but we are Illinois. We are the University System of Illinois, and we deserve and merit and warrant high, aiming high, which is in our core mission. We will set core priorities that's centered on students and centered on public service that will follow a piece of advice that Abraham Lincoln handed down more than 150 years ago. Be sure to put your feet in the right place and then stand firm. So we're standing firm, and our feet, I believe, are in the right place. So my personal thanks to you for your support over the last year and your loyalty and commitment to this great university. Now, before I get more deeply, and it's going to be a very brief overview of the strategic framework, I do want to stress our commitment collectively to academic freedom and to our world-class faculty. That, of course, is central to our university's past, present, and its future. And I think it's important to reiterate the foundational importance of academic freedom as stated in our university statutes, Article 10, Section 2. It is the policy of the university to maintain and encourage full freedom within the law of inquiry, discourse, teaching, research, and publication, and to protect any member of the academic staff against influences from within or without the university which would restrict the members' exercise of these freedoms. And these principles are consistent with the 1940 AAUP Statement on Academic Freedom and Tenure. Also important to note, just over the last year, under the guidance of the board, the process of appointing faculty has significantly improved and now follows a more appropriate timeline. As an added reminder, during the appointment process, should concerns arise about any specific appointment, the board office will notify the relevant chancellor and request that the chancellor follow the campus shared governance process to evaluate the concerns, and after such consultation to advise if the proposed appointment should proceed. So we have academic freedom in our genome. We have wonderful, unbelievably great faculty. We have a fantastic and growing student body, growing in diversity and intellectual heft. They deserve a strategic framework for the next 10 years that is worthy of this great institution. So this is what it looks like in summary. First thing to note is the board chairman wrote me a letter even before I was on staff, giving me my first assignment, and that was to develop a strategic plan for the university. And so it does date back a year to May of 2015. We held an initial very important retreat with trustees and key staff in June, July. There was a steering committee appointed that really reflected the breadth of the institution in September, and that's been meeting regularly and has got to know each other extremely well, and very hard-working group, very grateful for their efforts. And then we had a tremendous amount of stakeholder engagement, town hall meetings on each campus times two, Rockford, as well as Peoria. We had 500 plus participants, that's probably a conservative number, at the town hall meetings. Many of you, if not most of you, participated. There was a second round of stakeholder sessions in March. And as you know, we adopted the radical transparency idea of putting everything on online, meeting notes, versions, comments, and everything online. And so if you've been paying attention on our website, you'll see how it's unfolded in iterative steps towards what we are ready to present today. It's been an extensive consultation process. More than 1,000 individuals have written in and made comments and suggestions, text edits. We've used all kinds of colors, red line, blue line, yellow line, and tried to keep track of everything. And I particularly want to thank Dee Dee Williams for her leadership in really shaping this overall effort and keeping track of all the moving parts. So it's been an extensive consultation process. The steering committee members are mentioned here. Chancellor Emeritus was on it. Our three student trustees were on the committee, and we're very grateful for them. They led the effort in some of the town hall meetings, but we also had faculty and Senate representatives and representatives of academic professionals and staff, and very grateful for their contributions over this period. What's come out of this is a four-pillar strategy, and I'm just going to give you one slide on each of the four pillars and then summarize with a sort of overall rubric. You can all read it. It's on your tabletop here. First of all, foremost, is it's an institution of and for students. So there's a student emphasis in this that I kind of promised on day one, too, when I came in, because I think that's what we're here for. That's our central core mission, is to provide a world-class education for students. And within that charge, we have a lot to work on, a lot to do, a lot to celebrate as well. But diverse, multicultural, and welcoming community is a major emphasis of this framework. Comprehensive enrollment strategy is a major emphasis, so that we know what we're doing, which areas are growing, how many, what the kinds of facilities are going to be needed, teacher-student ratios, and so forth. Reimagining constantly, and this is a continuous process, student-focused teaching and learning. We want to be the very best we can be in advanced pedagogy, implementation of technology, distance education, in learning, and we want to be assessment driven as well, so we know what's working, why it works, for enhanced teaching and learning. We want to drive rich and varied cultural experiences at home and away from home, in the classroom, in the community, and so forth, in international experiences as well, and experiential learning and career guidance, so that students who enter our tutelage feel like they're supported in their aspirations for their careers and know what's available and get letters and so forth and are suitably propelled into effective careers. So first and foremost, an institution of and for our students. Second pillar is research and scholarship with impact. And by impact, we mean not just scholarly articles, but we need societal impact. We need impact on our knowledge, a new knowledge creation, impact on economic revitalization of the state and beyond. And so key bullets here are a culture of discovery, entrepreneurship, and thoughtful risk-taking. Not everything is going to work out the way it's imagined. We are a learning organization. We can push the envelope. And when you push the envelope, sometimes you go down blind alleys. You learn a lot when you do that. But risk-taking is going to be part of our thinking as we move forward. But solutions, not just analyses of, but solutions for the grand socio-technical challenges of our times. We live in this century. We certainly have issues to deal with. And there's a listing of such challenges in the document. We need to nurture, retain, recruit brilliant, collaborative faculty. We need to support our faculty. We need to provide them paths to grow and prosper. And we need, by faculty, I mean in the broadest possible context, anybody who's participating in the academics and the teaching and learning environment of this. We want world-class innovation, deep innovation, rapid innovation, innovation that has impact. Students as colleagues in all of this, not just as cheap labor or participants in some lab, but as colleagues, intellectual peers and colleagues, maybe not quite peers yet, but on their way to becoming intellectual peers with our faculty and partners. And then deep scholarship and multidisciplinary vitality. So we want deep scholarship in disciplines, but we want to be able to connect across the disciplines to create that interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary, transdisciplinary vitality that Illinois is so well known for already. The third pillar is a healthy future for Illinois. Notice in each of these pillars there's an italicized word, and so far, let me remind you, it's students, impact, and Illinois. So if we're talking about a four-word sentence, you'll see it shortly. It doesn't have a verb, but it could be a social media kind of sentence. In this one, the next generation workforce, we are, in fact, creating the human capital that is going to be meaningful for the future of the state. 20,000 graduates a year, enormous contribution to the vital workforce. We want powerful public-private research and development partnerships, deeper, more engagement in Illinois and in the Midwest, a bedrock commitment to civic engagement. I have to say that one of the themes that came out of the town hall meetings again and again and again was civic engagement, participation in civil society, involvement in the issues of the time, and I think you'll see that as a major piece of the strategic framework. Presence throughout the state, revitalizing regional economies, and also big emphasis on Chicago as a city that is a petri dish for social advancement and for economic development, and of course, utilizing our wonderful campus there, but also revitalizing regional economies. Vibrant connections with other educational institutions in Illinois, and the document talks about horizontal integration with other public higher ed institutions, four-year schools, two-year schools as well, but also the K through 12 enterprise. So integrating the whole pipeline of public education in innovative and responsible ways. And we're talking about in the document a compact with the state, which would say, this is how we deliver good, public good to the state, in return for which the state will provide robust and predictable and sustained funding. That's what I mean by a compact, and we're working intensively on that, even on a daily basis. The last pillar is tomorrow's university today, and the italicized word is today, so there's an urgency here. It's we want to be the exemplar, not to catch up with any other public university that you might name or think about or come from in your past, but to really be the best exemplar of a public higher education system now, which means that we need world-class access, so students from all kinds of backgrounds and socioeconomic opportunity spaces can be provided access. Affordability, which is a key component of our commitment to maintain tuition at the lowest possible level. The completion, so that our students graduate. We're very proud of our record in graduation rates and also the trend in that, which is going in the right direction. But completion in a finite period of time to limit the amount of student debt is a part of it. And then success in the workplace and in life is also that. So access, affordability, completion, and success, a mantra. We want to engage innovative technology, cutting-edge technology, as Illinois has been known for, forever, to enhance learning and discovery. We want deep, lifelong engagement with alumni worldwide. We have 700,000 alumni, and the framework sets out a vision of being yet more aggressive about connecting with our alumni. Sustainable environmental practices everywhere. We want to be known for that at scale and with a level of societal responsibility that is unmatched. Distinctive identities for each of the universities. And I want to note here that we're talking about the University of Illinois system with three universities. We're not in this document talking about the University of Illinois with three campuses. That's a different semantics. And we're all, and me included, are going to have to learn how to get our language around that. The system word is deeply embedded in this. And we're talking about distinctive identities for each of the three universities. Intense collaboration across disciplines and with partners, even more intense collaboration is a statement in here. And then excellence, efficiency, integrity, and stewardship everywhere and always. We want to be known for that, and we want to embody that in our leadership, in our departmental structures, and throughout. So those are the four pillars. I would say we are now then talking about a system of universities, and maybe this could be seen in a way as the birth of the system that will be heralded as the best in the nation, where that system word is used, a system of universities. We are, and this is the title of the document, the public's university. Now, that was a title that was broached, taken back, rethought, put back in, but it weathered the whole process, and it was actually acclaimed at some of the town hall meetings. So I think we've adopted this as our title of the strategic framework. We are the public's university. We belong to and are of and derived from the public, and the subtitle is Optimizing Impact for Public Good. And notice not selectivity or being ranked number 10 or number 6 or anything like that. This is where we stand with our feet firm on the ground, as Abe Lincoln would say. The framework, I think the thing I'm most proud of personally, having gone through this and working with wonderful colleagues, is I do believe this is the authentic voice of the U of I system today, because we've had so many rounds, we've had so much input, we've had some criticisms of variants of it, and they've been modified. The thing has improved at every iteration. Deans have been involved, the senates have been involved, we've had students, we've had town hall meetings, we've had open office hours with the chancellors involved, and I think it may not be perfect, but it is the authentic voice of the U of I system today, and that's so important. And because it's that, I think we have to be open to it being a living document, because the U of I system is going to evolve. It's going to get better, we're going to get stronger, things will change, forcing functions will change. And so this is not a point in time that will be forever changeless, but a framework that provides us a vision and a direction as the as we move forward. So finally, and I am ending, you'll be pleased to, next steps. The next board retreat is in July. We're working now on organizing that retreat. So it is, the glossy document will be available. There will be some fine tuning, I'm sure, comments today. We have an amendment sheet. There'll be, so if you find a text edit or something like that, don't panic, it's not going to be there for 50 years. We will make those fixes, and there'll be a glossy version available at the July retreat. But that's when we start the implementation. As the chairman said, what matters is what comes next. We have a framework that connects our three universities. We have a lot of hooks, we have a lot of aspirations. Now we need to deliver on that framework. I have to say that this framework is fully consistent with the university's individual existing strategic plans. We were very careful along the way to make sure that the University of Illinois system is not out of step or in some misalignment with UIC's vision, Urbana's vision, Springfield's vision. I think we've successfully managed to make that fully aligned. But now we need to get serious about a bold, compelling, fresh, outbound passage to take advantage of this moment. At the same time, as you know, we are launching a new campaign that's in the quiet phase right now, but that's very important to connect to the alumni with language. We're looking at marketing processes, we're looking at deeper engagement with our alumni, and of course we have 150 years to celebrate coming up soon from the founding of the University of Illinois, which I think is very important. So the commitment here is it's a living document. July is the, I think of the horse race, right? You've got the thoroughbred in the stall and the gate opens. We want to come out of that gate now with energy, momentum, excitement that is consistent with an ambition and a direction that really serves the public's university well. So thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate that. Any questions or comments for Tim? I know we'll have opportunity in the future, but yes, Juwan.
I really, 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 really like the strategic plan, President Killeen. I think that it says a lot. One of the things that stuck out to me when you were doing the presentation was the students as colleagues. I think that's going to be extremely important as we move forward and, you know, try to come up with these fresh, bold, new ideas and initiatives. But at the same time, I don't think it says enough. And I was reading through the strategic plan here, and specifically, I think pillar one, section two, where it talks about diversity. The statement is enhance the diversity and inclusiveness of the university community. First, I really should say, you know, I really don't like the word diversity. And I don't think we need to diversify the university. I'm going to borrow a word from Shonda Rhimes, and I think we really need to move toward normalizing our institution, because that's really what it's about. Having more African-American students, having more Latino students, that's a normalization of our institution, because historically we haven't given access to those students. I mean, the fact is that Black and Latino students specifically are hurting at the university. We can look at graduation rates. We can look at, you know, admission rates. I know you just mentioned that, you know, the numbers are up for the incoming year. And that's great. I want to make sure that, you know, we stay on that course. But the fact of the matter is students like, you know, myself, Jalen and Dominique, we're here in spite of the policies that exist at the institution, not as a result of them. And I think that, you know, this plan presents an opportunity for us to make a statement. Addressing inequity, historical inequity, it has to be the number one priority at our institution, not only because it's the right thing to do from a social justice perspective, but it's also the right thing to do from an economic perspective. In 15 years, the state of Illinois will be a majority-minority state. African Americans and Latinos will make up the majority of the state. And if we don't make ourselves accessible to these students, I mean, what is that going to look like for Illinois' economy in the future? if we have to do more. I mean, the fact is, you know, these students, they tend to need more support. I mean, and that support is needed as a result, again, of policies and procedures that have been put in place intentionally to keep those students from having access to universities like the University of Illinois. I mean, there's a reason that Black and Latino students need more financial aid. There's a reason that Black and Latino students score lower on the ACT and don't get access to these to our institution. And the fact is, as an institution, we've been complicit in those policies. In order for us to move forward, you know, I think we just need to, again, just like you said, you know, we have to be bold with our initiatives. And I really look forward to the implementation phase, because I know, you know, as we talked, that's where a lot of those bold initiatives will come from. But, you know, I really just feel like, you know, this has to be said. You know, in the words of Fannie Lou Hamer, you know, Black folks are sick and tired of being sick and tired. These issues haven't been addressed, and this has to be a top priority for the institution. So with that being said, I'd like to make to motion for a friendly amendment to change.
Wait a minute. We need to wait until we get into the roll call.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say a few other things then. The second thing I guess I'll say is you brought up the fact of, or the point that we want to make the university a standard bearer. And I think, you know, there are a few things we need to think about as we move forward toward the implementation phase, as far as like being a standard bearer. Number one is, you know, we need to think about consolidating diversity efforts or these initiatives, right? There are quite a few people who have titles of, you know, diversity person across the university. Those efforts, you know, I really think we need to think about how we can consolidate those. Maybe that means creating a vice president at maybe that means creating a person at the presidential level who has oversight of all of these different entities. Maybe it means consolidate. I don't know what that means, but, you know, I just think like that's something that should definitely be on our mind. And then also being a standard bearer means that, you know, we have to be willing to step out in front and do more than everybody else has done. And so I think it's important that, you know, we know what has been done by other institutions. I mean, Yale, for example, has put forth $50 million in a 5-year initiative to bring in faculty of color. Brown University just released an action plan, and they earmarked $165 million toward bringing in underrepresented students. For us to be standard bearers, if that's something that we really want to do, we have to surpass what Yale and Brown did. And I think it's important that we keep those things in our mind as we move forward during the implementation phase.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you very much for those comments, Juwan. And I guess quickly, with students as passionate, as vocal as you, I have no doubt that we're going to take this on and lick it.
And Juwan will be continuing on next year. So definitely. It'll be helpful as we deal with these issues going forward. Any other comments or questions? Yes.
I only have one comment, in that your italicized words are a sentence. Students impact Illinois today. So I really, I like you picked the right words, and there is a verb in there.
Thank you very much.
A good sentence. Good.
Thank you very much.
Very good. All right. And I know all of you have had input along the way, so it's not as if this is the first opportunity to have input. You've participated in the process and have provided feedback through the various documents, so I appreciate that. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank